Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Hey guys, it's Candace.
And it's Elena.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime.
Hey,
did you notice your little thing I put over there?
The sticker?
No.
Oh, wait.
Take it off and look at it.
What is it? It's a magnet!
It's a magnet!
I'm like, the sticker?
Yeah, the sticker. Stickers are old news.
Okay.
We've got magnets.
Okay, I can have this?
You can have it.
It's going on my fridge.
Yes.
I'm excited about this.
Cousins on Crime.
Get you one.
Get you one. What are y'all waiting for? Cinco de Mayo.
Tis.
Yes, we record these episodes.
This is how we celebrate.
The day before. Hey, you're lucky you're getting an episode this week. I really had to pull this one out of the bag.
Yeah, she worked really hard.
But it was worth it. Trust me, it's going to be worth it. I would like you to know that I had Taco Casa.
Okay.
For lunch.
Did they give a Cinco de Mayo Taco Tuesday?
There was nothing special.
What?
She didn't say happy Cinco de Mayo to me. She just handed me my food and was like, bye. And I was like, but
yeah,
Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo?
Somebody, yeah, they need to be told that that is unacceptable.
Anyway,
did you enjoy your tacos?
Well, I had a tostada.
Okay.
And a bean burrito.
It's a flat taco, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yes. I love their tostadas. So I'll probably have Rosa's for dinner.
Oh, do it.
Being that it is Taco Tuesday.
So we're going to have to get done with this episode
quick.
You know what I would love to have? Okay.
Go on.
Coco Shrimp has Taco Tuesday every Tuesday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so their tacos, I know you don't like shrimp or fish, but y'all.
I'm glad you like it,
Coco Shrimp tacos are like heaven in your mouth. It's probably my favorite food right now.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't have it enough.
Mm.
And it's like a 20-minute drive from
my
house.
I was about to say, it's not close. It's not like...
So yeah, I'm not going to drive there after this episode, but I really want to.
Yeah. You should definitely like make it a point to have it though more.
Yes. And if you know of a Coco Shrimp, if you've got... I don't know if they're all around the United States. I hope they are because you deserve to have one.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it sad that this episode is coming out on Wednesday and they have to wait all the way? A whole nother week.
Listen, just if you have a Coco Shrimp in the vicinity, go get you some shrimp tacos.
They're open on Wednesdays.
Yeah.
Like, no one's saying you can't go there.
You can still have tacos.
You can.
Or just a shrimp plate with their rice, buttery garlic rice.
Oh, now that does sound good.
It's delicious.
But the shrimp have to vacate the rice bed.
So, what else do we want to talk about?
Well, let's talk about what a day it was.
It was a day.
In court.
Yes.
If you follow us on Instagram, on Facebook, stories, I haven't been as
vocal.
I'm just not that girl. Okay. I'm not that breaking news girl. Like, I don't have the energy for it. I would love if this was my main gig.
Yeah.
I would eat, sleep, drink true crime all day, every day. But
yeah, there were even times I was like, I probably should make an update on this because this is interesting. Yes. But yeah.
So the Athena Strand trial mm-hmm. just wrapped up. If you aren't aware, I think we should talk about it.
Yeah.
And maybe do an episode on it. Maybe for our patrons. But Tanner Horner got the death sentence today.
He did.
And I am very surprised, to be honest with you. I was very surprised.
I am too. I really thought the defense attorneys really played on the jury's feelings of like feel sorry for him because he has these disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think what the kicker was them having to sit through the video.
Lord Jesus.
The video of the whole.
Of him killing her.
Yeah, the whole murder.
Listening to that 7-year-old girl fight for her life.
Yeah. And so if I had to sit there and watch that, I probably would have made the same decision.
Like there's just nothing more you can say after that.
Yeah.
After having lived that. These jurors, you know, and Maitland, Athena's mom, when she took the stand, she said in tears, she looked at the jury and said, I am so sorry that you have to watch that. I'm so sorry. Like it's not something that you can ever move past.
You can't unsee it.
Can't unsee it. You can't unhear it.
I wondered if they offered like therapy to the juries, to the jurors afterwards.
They should definitely.
Because nobody should have had to see that. I mean, they didn't show it on live TV or anything, thank God. But yeah, justice was served.
You know, here's what I think. I fully expected that he would get life without parole.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he had already pled guilty.
I think the fact that he is different was going to
mm-hmm.
affect the juror's ability to send him to death.
Yeah.
However, and I wish this would have been in his closing arguments. Mm. It wasn't, but it should have been. The pillars upon which those how many ever defense experts had built the foundation for their opinions that his autism,
mm-hmm.
his inability to cope,
right?
All of that was based on lies. He catastrophized because he hit her. He hit her with the truck. Lies.
Right.
He didn't hit her with the truck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we find out that there's this cocaine story now.
Right.
He told one of the experts in his interview with her that Athena saw him snorting cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he covered up the camera.
He thought he was going to lose his job.
He was going to lose his job. His son.
He had already lost his son. Him and his fiance didn't even have their child anymore. The child was at the fiance's parents' house. So don't tell me he was worried that he was going to lose his son because his son was already taken away.
But it was a lie. Yeah, it was another lie because there was no cocaine.
Oh, I'm fired
found in his system. What I mean to say is when you take away those lies, yes, you can all day long argue and say he thought he was going to lose everything. Mm-hmm. He made a decision that we wouldn't make because he thought he was going to lose everything. And in his mind, you know, he was just cleaning up what he could.
For sure.
But they're lies.
Yeah.
He didn't. Yeah. Snort cocaine. He didn't hit her with the truck. He saw her and said, I'm taking that little girl.
Yeah.
So when you remove the lies, all of it falls down to the floor. All of the upwards of $500,000
mm-hmm.
that was spent on.
Oh my gosh.
Defense.
So unnecessary.
I cannot believe that they approved public defenders spending that much money on experts that all said the exact same thing.
Yeah. And then the state has their last psychiatrist come on stand, which I really enjoyed him. Doctor, it's not arugula, but that's what I don't know what his last name is, but it sounds like arugula. So I really enjoyed his opinion. Of course, he was for the state, so that's easier to listen to. But yeah,
I remember that one. Was that?
It was yesterday.
It was yesterday. Okay, Monday. So I didn't finish yesterday because I was like, I can't listen to one more expert.
Yeah.
So sorry that I missed that.
Yeah, that was on Monday. And then so today was the closing arguments and stuff. So
and the jury came back very quickly.
Yeah, they did.
Very quickly.
I was surprised on that. Yeah, we're going to have to get into this on another episode because we could talk about this for a while. Yes. But yes, justice was served.
Athena, what a beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. Sweet little face. God,
what a And you know, the way they described her on the stand, she is Daisy. Like, when I think they're talking about how she's mischievous, she's wild and free and a free spirit. Yeah. And I just look at Daisy so different now because I'm like, let her live.
Let her live. Absolutely.
Let her throw her hair, whip her hair back and forth. And I can just hone that energy into something good.
Yes.
You know? And I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful.
But as a mom and as parents, to protect that wild spirit is a big job in itself.
It is.
And you've got two other girls other than her to protect. So that's, yeah.
And you know, they were letting Athena live.
Yes.
She was out there in a dress, in the mud, in the muck, and picking out worms, and in her pink dress. You know, she loved being girly, and she loved being dirty.
Yeah.
And
sounds like my little Emery.
It just, they lived in a rural area. Why can't she play by herself in the front yard when they have acreage?
She should have absolutely been able to. Yeah. And so that's another thing. I don't know if you saw Athena's uncle.
Yes, I did.
Speak, and he basically made Tanner look at him. Ew.
And he
put his beady arm eye on the table like he was intently listening. Get out of here. Okay. Anyway, but so Athena's uncle was just he told Tanner, like, you took away the peace that we had out there.
We don't trust anybody anymore. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yeah.
So,
And today, I was out watering the plants and all three of my girls came out to the front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Swear to God, this happened. This is a true story. And Daisy and Hazel ran around the side of the house. I couldn't see them. And what comes driving down the street but a FedEx truck?
Mm. On the same day of the
And I said, sentencing. Get over here. If I can't see you, that's a problem. And it just, I felt some type of way.
Yeah. And it's not to say that FedEx is just this evil organization of drivers around the area, but it makes you think, it makes you more aware.
Yes. It makes you turn your head and go, not my babies.
That's what I'm saying. You have to come through me. You've got, as parents, that's a big job to protect.
Lord Jesus. It's why I'm on the highest dose of Prozac. truly. Anyway, thank you to the 12 people who put themselves through that. I cannot imagine having to debrief after this.
Yeah.
And I just,
ooh.
If he makes it all the way to death, because I think he's probably going to kill himself in prison. He's already tried multiple times.
Yeah.
He tried multiple times out of prison. So.
Yeah. There's something's going to happen.
Or someone's going to shank him in the butthole.
Well, there is that.
So I have forgotten his name already, actually.
Moving on.
Rest in peace, Athena.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move on to today's case.
Okay.
You've been to Seattle, right?
Yes.
Okay, did you go to Bainbridge Island?
No, I did not.
Okay. So our story today takes place on Bainbridge Island. Okay. It's a quaint little town near Seattle, Washington. When Dusty and I went to Seattle, thank you for asking about my trip to Seattle.
Oh, have you been there? You've been there, right?
Yes, I have. Thank you. Okay. Oh my goodness. So when we went to Pike Place Market.
Yes, which is a cool place.
Very cool place. We met this sweet little old lady that made these earrings. You know those purple earrings I got you?
Yes.
So that was the lady. She grew up on Bainbridge Island. And so she was telling us, you know, you've got to go over, just ride the ferry over, spend a couple hours. And it was such a charming little quaint, I mean, there was like family owned shops. It felt like everyone we met that worked at the shops had grew up on the island.
Oh, wow.
It was just a cool vibe.
Now I feel like I need to go back.
You've got to. Definitely. So Christ Community Church was an evangelical church perched on a hill where in December of 1997, the church community hit a sweet spot. You know, it seemed like all the congregants were, they were all the same age, you know, young adults. They were all getting pregnant and having babies at the same time, raising kids around the same age. It just really felt like such a great place to settle into life. And it really felt like there was a community there. And for Dawn Hackney and her husband, Nick, it really felt perfect for them. That is, until early one fateful morning, underneath the pines and the walkable hometown roads lurked something really dark.
Oh, no.
Festering. Ew. In the last place you would ever think possible.
Oh, man.
It was about a quarter after 7 in the morning when a man named Jeff picked up his employee, Tim, for work. He gets out of his car and he hears this crackling sound behind him and a whoosh and glass breaking. And he turns around and he saw smoke billowing out of a hole where a window used to be in the home across the street.
Oh.
So he rushed up to his employee's front door so that they could call 911. And as soon as he gets their attention, Tim and Jeff ran to the house that was burning. Jeff is banging on the front door. I mean, he doesn't know these people. He just came to pick up an employee. And he's going, you know, your house is on fire, banging on the door.
Oh, my gosh. 'Cause
it's early. Mm-hmm. So people are sleeping still. And he's screaming and screaming. But still, there was no sign that anyone was there. It was a very short-lived moment of relief, thinking they probably weren't home, until Tim, the Hackney's neighbor, saw Don's car outside.
Oh.
Jeff and Tim knocked the back door in and rushed inside to see if they could help.
Oh, that's so heroic.
I mean, they had no regard for their own safety. But by the time they got in there, I mean, they couldn't see a thing. The smoke was so thick. It was black. They were feeling their way through this house.
Oh, and my gosh.
Neither of these men had been in that house before, so they didn't know where they were going.
The layout, yeah.
Right, so they're blind. So they run back outside to catch their breath. By now, Tim's wife had brought over wet towels for them to put over their faces.
Oh, wow.
And so they went back inside.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're trying to make it further and further into the house. But it was getting hotter and hotter. And now they could see the flames.
Oh, my gosh.
And they knew, like, there's just nothing we can do. They realized they were putting themselves in harm's way.
Well,
I think it was at that point. So 10 excruciating minutes after 911 was first called, the fire engines came barreling down the street. Emergency personnel focused their hoses on the area that seemed to be most impacted. It seemed like there was an upstairs bedroom that was on fire and it was spreading to the whole house. So it was taking them a while to extinguish the flames. outside neighbors looked on helplessly and prayed that nobody was home. It was the day after Christmas. So onlookers are thinking
Christmas tree.
Well, they're thinking maybe they went out because they're also they're not hearing the Hackney's dogs.
Oh.
Hope and Faith.
Oh.
They were thinking, okay, they left town. They took the dogs with them. Mm. You know, they went to see family or something like that. And they're just hoping beyond hope that that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
Once the fire had been put out, the first responders made their way through the home and they could smell burning flesh.
Mm.
They knew that smell. And it didn't take them long to find what they were looking for. They made their way up to the master bedroom and they found a small body on the bed, which they thought could either be a child or a woman.
Oh, no.
Not because there was distinguishable features, but just based on its size.
Size, yeah.
The body was burned beyond any recognition, and it appeared that the body had also been covered in an electric blanket because they saw scraps of fabric, they saw wires.
Oh.
The wire that plugs in, and so they just assumed. And it'll make more sense in a minute why.
Was it plugged in?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know if it was plugged in. Probably, which we'll get to.
Okay.
Chill, yo.
I'm sorry.
So having learned that Nick Hackney was quite a large guy, investigators believed they had found 28-year-old Dawn Hackney, the wife.
Mm.
But that was the only body they found in the home. So where was Nick? Around 10 a.m., you know, this is hours later,
mm-hmm.
Nick Hackney pulls down the street to a chaotic scene outside his front door. He looks up in horror at the charred remains of what once was his home.
Oh.
Filled with worry, he met the Kitsap County chief coroner near the yellow caution tape, and he confirmed when asked that he and his wife were the only ones that lived in the house.
Hmm.
I think the neighbors knew something was up already. You know, the fire squad didn't come out and make an announcement to everyone, but they could see, they could hear the utterings, you know, right. The coroner shows up.
And they're probably watching the whole time, like trying to figure out.
Oh my gosh. But the tragedy was confirmed when Nick sat in a heap and wept in agony because his wife was dead. By now, the fire department had packed up and left, and all that remained were the police officers trying to figure out what happened, like mm-hmm. what started this fire. And there was fire investigators there. But, you know, when we think of like the first responders being there, the fire department put the fire out.
Yeah.
And they leave, you know, it's just... their role is done. And so now it's up to the fire investigators, mm-hmm. the police. And that's just so weird to me, isn't it? I feel like everybody should stay. Like, you know.
Yeah. What did you see?
Everybody how did you stay. Do this? Yeah. Exactly.
Where was the fire the hottest?
Yeah, I know.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these winds are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Moto Casino. America's
social casino. So Nick told the police that their home didn't have central heating and they used space heaters throughout the home, which was probably why Dawn was sleeping with an electric blanket.
For extra heat.
It was for... Okay, I went there in December.
Oh, okay.
And it was cold. Cold. Mm. I can't imagine sleeping in a home with no heat in that kind of weather.
I wonder if that's normal.
It's not normal.
Okay. I wouldn't think so because it does snow a lot.
Yes. They were renovating and they were making.
Okay.
So I don't know the whole story about the house, but that's what it was. Maybe they bought it for cheap and they were working on it.
Fixing. Okay.
Nick said early that morning before sunrise, he packed his things to go duck hunting with some friends and he turned on the space heater for Dawn. They didn't sleep with it, you know, while they were sleeping, but he turned it on for her so that when she woke up, she'd be nice and cozy. He told the authorities that he and Dawn had left Christmas wrapping paper all over the room because they had opened their gifts the night before and they didn't clean up. They just kind of left things in piles and left, you know, the presents stacked up. And he thought maybe the paper was too close to the heater and I shouldn't have turned it on. And like, maybe that's what started the fire. In interviews with neighbors, the neighbors confirmed that the house was in pretty rough shape. Like there were constant sounds of hammering and banging, and it always seemed like the couple was renovating something inside. So like I said, it may have been one of those things that it was, you know, and they didn't have a lot of money. So maybe they bought this house as a fixer and they were really just trying to make it something nice.
Yeah.
Remember Tim, the Hackney's neighbor who lived across the street, who tried to go in and save someone? Well, when he realized he wasn't going to be able to save anyone, he ran outside and grabbed the garden hose.
Okay.
But the water wasn't even working.
Oh.
So they had all kinds of things going on.
Huh.
So maybe the fire was caused by the space heater. Maybe it was the electric blanket. Who knows? Everything was so rickety and...
Yeah.
Definitely. So, And because of all the work, it could have been a number of things that had gone wrong. So the fire investigators did take note of the Christmas wrapping paper. They saw it. They saw the space heater charred. They even found little propane tanks in the room, which Nick said were a gift from Dawn because he would go hunting a lot and she bought him these little propane tanks so that he could go, you know, camp out. And yeah,
that makes sense.
Yes.
Chris has his, but we keep them in the garage, not inside the house.
He says he just got them for Christmas. Okay. And all the Christmas presents were just sitting in the room.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. And there was nothing suspicious. There was nothing anyone saw that appeared suspicious at all. Even the propane tanks weren't exploded. I mean, they hadn't exploded or anything.
Oh.
Like you would think that if someone started combustion. This fire intentionally.
Right.
Maybe they blew up the propane tanks or whatever, but they hadn't even combusted. So everything pointed to an accidental fire.
Mm-hmm.
At the coroner's office, the body was confirmed to be Dawn's through dental records, and they looked at the jewelry that she was wearing. They found that there had been extensive burns to the front of the body, but not the back, which told them that she never moved when the fire broke out. Something else he noted was that Dawn's airways were clean. They weren't black like you would expect to see someone who died in a fire and died of smoke inhalation. Mm. You know, people in fire-related deaths die from the smoke inhalation. They don't die from being burned up in the fire. They die from the smoke inhalation
first.
There's
going to be evidence of breathing in the smoke.
Exactly. But the coroner said that sometimes in a flash heat event, he'll see a throat seize up. Like he'll see the throat seizes up.
Like the body's trying to protect itself.
It's like someone suffocates in an instant.
Oh,
that first flash heat, the throat will close, which he believed is why Dawn was not breathing in the smoke. He said there was a flash heat event.
Wow. That's terrifying.
It's rare, but it supported the accident.
Sure.
As well. Now, Christ Community Church was absolutely beside themselves with grief. And I'm sure there were a few that questioned God during this time. How could he allow this to happen to someone so faithful?
Mm-hmm.
Dawn grew up in the Christian faith and she truly lived it through her life. She graduated from a private Christian high school as valedictorian.
Oh, wow.
And she thanked God in her speech, giving him all the glory for every good thing that she had in her life. Dawn was smart and she was funny and she was really sweet and giving. Mm. Dawn's best friend since seventh grade, Eunice, called Dawn her conscience.
Oh.
She said, Dawn just seemed to have a sense of things. Like Eunice said, I'd be going out, you know, to dinner. And Dawn would call me up and say, well, just be careful.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, call me when you get home.
Aww.
And she just, it, just be careful. I'm thinking about you. She was so always, sweet. She always had other people on her heart. Dawn and Nick met at the Northwest Bible College, which locals call Northwest Bridal College because the joke is that you go there to find a husband.
That's good.
And she meets Nick there and her friends met him and they thought, yeah, I mean, he's all right. They were just happy that she was happy, you know?
They didn't see the connection that she saw.
Right. Okay. Not initially. And she was really happy. Dawn called Nick her knight, like her knight in shining armor. And everyone could see that he was beaming when they married on April 20th, 1990. Nick became the youth pastor of Christ Community Church. And Dawn worked as a loan officer for a local credit union in Bremerton, where they lived. So she was supporting the family financially while he was working as a youth pastor. Obviously, if you're not aware, that doesn't make a lot of money.
It does not make a lot of money. That's why I have a full-time job, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Dawn didn't mind. You know, she loved being a pastor's wife, and she was really proud of her husband and the work that he was doing in the church. Nick felt quite a conviction that he was chosen by God since he was a kid. Apparently, his dad told him a story that when he was really sick as a little boy, Nick's dad prayed to God and said, "Save my son." And God did. And a word came down that Nick was special and that he was going to lead a lot of people to Christ.
Okay.
So this was instilled in Nick growing up. And this was the air about him that made people gravitate to him. He was confident and he was funny and fun and he was laid back. And people found his sermons refreshing in an otherwise stringent evangelical environment.
Gotcha.
And listeners, if you're not familiar with the evangelical denomination of Christianity, it is quite rigid. And
hellfire and brimstone.
Hellfire and brimstone. It's their strictures are, the emphasis is spreading the word of God, but allowing God to flow through you physically. And so there's a lot of speaking in tongues, casting out demons, and prophecies. So I imagine some of the members of that church liked listening to him preach because it was less about the hellfire and brimstone.
Right.
And more about probably relatable things, getting to know Christ.
Gotcha.
And how God can use you. Now, some members of the church would have these prophecies and they would share them with the church. There was one that her name was Sandy Glass. She predicted a baby was going to be born early. And sure enough, that baby came the day she said it would.
Oh, wow.
Yes. She also,
I mean, that stuff does happen.
Hey,
I had dreams that my brother and his wife were pregnant and they were, but I knew before they knew. So
you also had a dream that I was pregnant with twins.
Yes, I did.
And you told me that when I called you and said, Lena.
Yeah. See,
there's the two of them. And you said, I knew it.
I did.
And I was like, what do you mean you knew it?
So this stuff does happen.
It does happen. However, Sandy Glass said, there's an earthquake that is going to wipe out the Pacific Northwest.
Oh, no.
So the churchgoers were canceling their plans. They were not going to their son and daughter's baseball games. They were stockpiling non-perishable items and really going ham on this. But the earthquake didn't happen.
That's interesting to me that they all believed her so
right.
But fiercely.
Listen, it didn't damper anyone's beliefs that she had this word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they all made up their minds that either it was going to happen in the future or God stopped it from happening.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Lena, do you remember Y2K?
Absolutely. That was like a pivotal time in our lives. You know what?
Elder millennials, that is our childhood trauma. Is we have a lot of childhood trauma, but goodness. I would say Y2K is one of them, one of those things, because like kids these days don't know.
No.
We went to sleep
thinking that we were not going to be there anymore.
The computers were going to malfunction. All of our money in the banks was going to be gone, which I didn't have a bank account at that time. But, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
It was like crickets the next morning. Anyway. So after serving as youth pastor and preaching sermons for a while, Nick was made head pastor of the marriage counseling program that the church had just rolled out.
Oh, okay. And he's a newlywed himself, or they had already been married?
They had been married a while.
Okay.
They had been married a while. Now, in the beginning, these counseling sessions were amazing. I mean, people were signing up for them. They were feeling really connected and fresh. But after a few months, the husbands began to feel a bit uncomfortable.
Oh, no.
Some of the early complaints were that Nick only wanted to talk about their sex lives.
Oh, yeah, that's not...
So he was, you know, out there with his notebook. How many times are you having sex a week?
No, that's not what
and
you
he
do.
Wanted to know in detail, you know, their sex life. And he was fixated on just that. Not communication, not, you know, loyalty and, you know, all the other things. And things got even weirder when Nick would tell the husbands that he needed to have individual sessions with their wives to work through their issues first.
That's not good.
Right. It wasn't the individual sessions themselves, though, that were cause for concern. It was more like how many of these individual sessions there were and what times of day they were required to meet. Evenings.
Okay.
But when Don died, people kind of put that weird feeling aside and there was just an outpouring of support for Nick in his time of grief. I mean, we all do that. We just say, forget it. We'll deal with that later.
Well, as Christians, when you weep when they absolutely. Weep, you rejoice when they rejoice.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's what makes this case so sticky.
Yeah.
Nick did his best to move on, you know, as best he could, considering the circumstances. He had people in the church that relied on him, so he couldn't just give up. He had to go on.
Mm.
And remember, this was his, for lack of a better term, career. This is what he did.
Right.
He was the youth pastor. And while that wasn't necessarily bringing home the bacon, he had all these parishioners that relied on him. He was in the middle of all these marriage counseling sessions. And
I think they would have been okay.
Yeah, I think they would have been okay. But he felt like he just couldn't disappear on them.
Okay.
He was counseling Sandy Glass and her husband. They were having issues. And just like with the others, he told Mr. Glass he needed to see Sandy alone. And he had been seeing Sandy alone.
Okay.
And so that picked up when Dawn died. Her husband got really irritated.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, enough is enough. And so he went outside the church and got an outside pastor to come speak to Nick.
Okay.
Now, I couldn't really figure out who this pastor was or why he came. Maybe he was a friend. I don't know. But he comes in to speak with Nick and he's like, you know, like, knock it off. It's not a good look.
Yeah. Like, I mean, she's spending all her time speaking to the pastor when she should be using this time to speak to her husband. Like,
well, and you're a pastor. Avoid the appearance of all evil, thus saith the Lord.
There's that. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Remember I said that Sandy Glass was a prophet, essentially.
Self-proclaimed.
But everyone in the church really respected her. They really believed her. And they believed her when she said that the angel Gabriel appeared to her one time.
Whoa.
That's
an honor.
What an honor. So these clandestine meetings weren't just her seeking counseling for her marital problem. Some thought that she's discussing these prophecies with her pastor.
Okay.
So people are starting to go, you know, yeah, I don't like the way that looks, but, you know, she's important to this church. He's important to this church. Maybe they're meeting about something else. It's
to further the ministry.
Exactly. Sandy had even prophesied that something bad was going to happen to Dawn.
Oh, girl.
More on that later.
Oh, no.
Now, Mr. Glass wasn't the only one side-eyeing Nick about these meetings. There were other husbands out in the cold waiting for Nick to fix their wives, too.
Okay.
Some in the church thought it was ridiculous, and others thought it was just a grieving widower who was accepting attention and support in his time of need. You know, there's always going to be the naysayers, but and then, like you say, as Christians, we want to believe the best in people, and we want to say, I know that person and I know their character. And so he had defenders. Now, there was a woman named Annette Anderson and her husband, Craig, who were also attending the church, and they were actually really close with Dawn and Nick. Annette and Craig were struggling, though, in their marriage. They were fighting all the time, and they just couldn't communicate properly. I mean, they were yelling and like they just.
Why so many relationships that couldn't handle it?
I know. They just couldn't speak each other's language. But just like other couples, Nick began to push Craig out of these sessions. And pretty soon, things turned really strange.
Oh, gosh.
Nick and Annette were sitting at her kitchen table one time. This was days after Dawn's death. And she had offered to help Nick with some insurance paperwork.
Okay.
Right? So they're sitting there, and Nick said to her, what would you do if I run upstairs and tell you to make passionate love to me?
Oh, my gosh.
And she's like, what? You know, at first she's like, surely he didn't just say what I think he said. But when she realized he did say that, and he wasn't like backpedaling or laughing like he was joking.
It wasn't a joke.
Right. She felt really uncomfortable and put off.
Well, yeah.
At that point, like I said, Dawn had been dead days, maybe a week at most. But she kept meeting with Nick. And every time she met with Nick, he would talk about them having sex.
Oh, my.
Telling her that God wanted them to have sex.
God would never tell you to do that.
Right.
Oh, geez.
So she met him at a hotel, Lena.
No. No, no, no.
Yes, she did.
No.
Lena, I'm so hang on mad to your panties. Right. Hang on.
I'm so mad.
Annette told Dateline that she began having sex with Nick regularly, and she genuinely believed that she was doing what God was asking of her.
No. I'm dying over here.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
She started to see a different side of Nick that wasn't so holy, though.
Mm-hmm.
One time, Annette told Nick that she couldn't meet him that night because she had her baby.
Oh.
Like, sorry, I've got this baby and I can't go out tonight.
Gotta take care of my family.
And he told her to give the baby cold medicine so that it would sleep through their lovemaking.
Okay.
She did comply.
She. Get me in front of this lady.
She complied. Even though these bells were going off in her head and she thought, this is nuts, she did it anyways.
I know
what you're thinking, Lena. Like, how could he have brainwashed this woman to believe that God was instructing her to have an affair? Like, go outside of her marriage when she's in marriage counseling to repair the marriage and convince her to sleep with her pastor?
So that's the thing. Like, so many people put their faith in man and not in God.
Mm-hmm.
And the power of lust is real, and it can grow. It's big. The power of lust is big. Okay, keep going. I don't like it, but keep going.
Elena's crumbling over there in her seat.
Do you see my face is red right
now? She's like an Oreo in milk. She's just disintegrating. Yeah. Okay, well, it wasn't just her. Okay.
I feel like all these people, okay, there's so many couples in this position that need help. Maybe Nick is causing these frictions to bring the women to him.
So making things worse that they keep coming back.
Okay.
Totally, totally see that. Yeah. Yes. Now, it wasn't just Annette that was being brainwashed. Remember Sandy Glass?
Right.
The prophet. Nick was still meeting with her, who by now had fully separated from her husband. And there were others. Nick had been sleeping with multiple women in the church. Lena? Guys. Guys, please listen. Nick convinced Dawn's mother.
Shut up.
To sleep with him.
Shut your mouth. Was he just like, what? Was he like an angel of light and what?
His mother-in-law.
When did that start?
Oh, after Dawn's death, he convinced her that God wanted the mother of his dead wife to have sex with him.
So was she married?
I don't know, but is that really what you want to is that your question right now?
My question.
I mean, don't you have other questions?
I have so many. That's just the one that came out. What a weird story.
Daniel was in the room when I was watching the interview, and you could tell how stupid Dawn's mother felt having to say this. Like, she didn't have to. I would have denied it till my deathbed, but Daniel was like,
what?
He was like, what are you watching? Like, what is this?
Oh, no.
This is the corruption of this man. This is the manipulation of this man.
And as crazy as it sounds, like, this stuff happens.
It did happen. This is true crime, y'all. Now, Annette, let's go back to her. She's still sleeping with Nick. She ends up getting so low. She's so depressed. She feels stuck in this cycle with Nick. And her husband had no idea. He thought that she was struggling with Dawn's death. Because remember, she and Dawn were friends.
Yeah.
Additionally, Annette had just had a baby. And so he's pointing to all of these other obvious reasons why she would be feeling low, feeling down, and he didn't know how to support her. Now, Annette and Nick stopped sleeping with each other at one point. She says she ended it. Nick says he chose someone else. Whatever the case may be. But Annette held on to that secret until one day in 2001, during an argument with her husband, she just came out with it.
She couldn't hold it in.
Something was being said about the people in the church and Nick. And she said, well, you know what? They're not the only ones. He did it to me too.
Oh my gosh. How uncomfortable.
And I just imagine Craig's head separating from his body and floating into the sky like a hot air balloon.
How do you react to that?
Imagine the shock that he felt not only learning this revelation, but that safe place, your church, had betrayed you. Like, it was a lie. That place that you go to for sustenance and water and
fellowship with other believers
and life.
Yeah.
It was a lie.
Tainted.
So Craig called a meeting with the pastors in the church. Not with Nick, but everyone else to talk about this affair. In attendance was Sandy Glass.
Oh.
Who had to sit there and listen to Craig tell everyone how right after Dawn's death, Nick convinced Annette to begin sleeping with him. Now, I'm not sure if Sandy knew about the other women.
Okay.
But I'm sure that she was real pissed off at this point, thinking, oh, it wasn't just me and him. You see, Sandy and Nick's affair started months before Dawn died. And there was something else that Sandy had to say.
Okay.
Dawn's death was no accident.
Well, you don't say.
Jimmy crack corn. So in 2001, more than 2 years after Dawn died in that tragic house fire, Sandy Glass got herself an attorney and she called up the Bremerton Police Department and told them that the death of Dawn Hackney was in fact a homicide. She outlined this affair that she had been having with Nick, which began while he was still married to Dawn. Sandy said that God told her that Dawn was going to die on December 18th. And that soon her and Nick would be together at last. She's telling the police this. The police are like, okay.
Yeah.
Sandy had separated from her husband. And they had even spoke about ending his life. But they didn't have to because they separated.
Okay.
So Sandy and Nick, they were looking at rings. And they were planning their first Christmas together.
Wow.
Because Dawn was going to die on the 18th. So then they could just have Christmas together, right? Well, December 18th came and went. And nothing happened to Dawn.
Well, she's been wrong before about the...
She's been wrong before.
The earthquakes.
Yes, so. Right. So, oh well. She called up Nick and she said, listen, God doesn't make mistakes. Your hands are not tied. Essentially saying, God says it's okay. Oh. Go ahead and finish her off. Like, okay. Go ahead and take care of it.
I'm just wondering if her God's name is Nick.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay.
So she says, God says, do what you need to do. Now, I'm not a biblical scholar by any means, but I don't recall thou shalt not divorce. I do know that there's a thou shalt not kill.
Correct.
I do know that one.
Yeah.
But apparently divorce just was not an option. Not an option. That wasn't a directive from God. So Nick told Sandy that on Christmas Day, this is him telling her after this happens. This is what Sandy's now telling the police.
Okay.
Nick told Sandy that on Christmas Day, Dawn had a cold and she had been taking medicine to cope with her symptoms. And he overdosed her on Benadryl, which incapacitated her before he put a plastic bag over her head and suffocated her. He slept next to her body the remainder of the night.
Oh.
Until he got up the next morning to prepare for his hunting trip. Before he left, he set the bedroom on fire, tucking papers all around her. They didn't seem to think that was weird at the time, I guess. And listen, when these things come up, police don't just go, say what? Let's go out and arrest the man. You know, they have to have probable cause. They've got to have something. This lady could just be a scorned lover.
Sure.
Okay. Now, the claim about the plastic bag over the head, they couldn't really substantiate because there was no sign that she had a plastic bag on her head or that someone had held her down. So they weren't so sure about that. But what about the smoke not being in her lungs?
Right.
Sandy's claim of her being dead before the fire was set checks out. She wouldn't have been breathing in that smoke. And when they took a second look at the toxicology from Dawn's initial autopsy, they found 5 times the normal adult dose of Benadryl in her system.
I mean, seems to be something that he likes to do. I mean, he did tell Annette to drug her child.
Ew, I didn't think of that. You're right.
So, I mean,
gross. You know, the coroner knew Dawn had a cold at the time. And so he sees this diphenhydramine in her toxicology. And he just didn't look at the quantity?
The amount, 5 times the amount?
I don't know.
Sheesh.
But there were circumstantial things too. Okay. You know, Dawn's best friend Eunice said that in the months leading up to Dawn's death, she could tell that Dawn was growing very unhappy in her marriage. When Eunice was over at the Hackney's house, Nick would belittle Dawn and tell her she needed to lose weight.
Okay, so the marriage counselor is having marriage problems himself.
And Eunice, first of all, she can't believe that he's talking to her like this, especially in front of her friend.
Right.
But mostly because Nick himself was the pot calling the kettle black, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, Lord.
And then there were the affairs. Dawn's body wasn't even cold yet, and he's already carrying on with other women in the church. 3 or 4 that would admit it anyways.
Oh, okay.
Now, the head pastor, Bob Smith, welcomed Nick into his home. It's worse than you think. I see your face. It's worse than you think. So he has Nick move in with them after Dawn's death because his house is burned down. He's now got to repair that. And he says, just come live with us. Nick repaid that kindness by starting a sexual relationship with Bob's 18-year-old virgin daughter, Lindsay.
Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh. What a piece of crap.
Yes. Lindsay fell in love with Nick.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, for whatever reason, but he told her they were going to be together. There was another woman, Nicole Matheson. She was one of the other ones he was sleeping with. And by 2001, he had broken off all these other relationships and said that he chose Nicole.
Oh, well.
Calls everybody up and says, you know what? It's Nicole for me.
Okay. Like we're on The Bachelor.
Right. Exactly. Final rose, uh-huh. Nicole. And they got engaged.
Oh.
But by now, things were already in motion. And the investigation into Dawn's death was in full swing. And they had enough to arrest Nick for the murder of his wife. Everyone was stunned, as you can imagine. I mean, yeah, he had built this reputation as like probably a womanizer. Everybody felt uncomfortable about it. But a murderer? No one could comprehend. Like, no one.
Mm-hmm.
Nick's trial began in 2002. Sandy made a deal with the prosecution to testify against Nick.
A deal because she was probably an accomplice or like...
She knew hiding, before,
right,
during, and after.
Yeah.
Okay?
She knew some kind of consequence.
Not that she helped him. Not that she helped him cover it up. But she knew.
Yeah. There's got to be some kind of consequence. Okay, so she made a deal.
She made a deal. Nothing befell her.
Wonderful.
So the defense stuck to this accident story. But the illusion of the Christmas wrapping paper and the space heater just couldn't compare to the hard evidence uncovered by the prosecution.
Okay.
After 7 weeks of argument, the jury delivered a guilty verdict on December 26th, Boxing Day, 5 years to the day after Dawn's murder, for first degree murder, which came with a sentence of life with the possibility of parole.
With the possibility.
Yes.
Okay.
Elena, Nick is eligible for parole in 2027, next year.
Okay.
And I will say,
ladies, watch out.
Oh.
Okay.
I can't wait for you to see this person. And your skin is going to crawl off of your body and into a grave somewhere.
Well, being in prison for 25 years.
No. I'm going to show you pictures of what he looked like before.
Okay. But it's even going to be worse now if he gets out.
Okay. So here's the thing. He's been doing really good things in prison.
Yeah. I'm sure.
On top of
Schmoozy.
This, yeah, on top of this, manipulative air that he has, and he's probably, you know, the pastor in there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to link this article if you care to read it. I'm not going to go into it, but he developed this like composting project, and he did like a TED talk about it.
We talked about another case.
Yes, we did. And we were furious that this guy was able to do a TED talk after he murdered.
Why are they letting prisoners do this?
Equality and inclusion.
Sure.
Anyway, if you care to read it.
This case has me dizzy.
I think that the parole board is going to go, that's amazing. He's really been using his time.
He's learned. If he can manipulate that many people, he's going to do it again. He's manipulated these people on the parole board. If they let him out, it's all by manipulation, and he's going to keep on doing it.
He'll never stop.
No.
It's his personality.
And he likes to see what he can get away with, and that's what he's going to do.
Dawn was so sweet. she took her vows seriously, mm-hmm. and she may not have been happy in her marriage, but that's who she chose. Mm-hmm. And you know what? She was going to stick it out. She was going to take her vows seriously and love her husband despite.
And maybe that's why he felt like he couldn't get a divorce, because she thought it was wrong.
Maybe. But he turned out to not be that knight in shining armor that she thought he was. Her friend Eunice said that Dawn had started putting pieces together. Like, she didn't have the whole picture, but she was like, I just don't know why he's at the church right now. When I've made dinner and, you know, he's gone. I don't know why he's got to be gone all weekend.
Why can't these people reschedule for a different time?
Like, she was questioning things. She was putting things together. She was uncomfortable with some of the stuff. She just didn't have time to put it all together.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
It's really sad. It's disappointing. It's disgusting that people use God as an excuse to do vile things, because
the trust. I mean, you know, church has a really weird. I have a weird relationship with church because of
a lot of people do
a lot. Because of the people inside that church.
That's exactly it.
Have broken my trust.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. They're humans. They're going to make mistakes or misconstrued things. Not everybody in the church is perfect. And that's where there's a fine line between trusting the church and trusting God.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, I mean, that's just disgusting.
Yeah. He is a piece of work. And, you know, I hope the parole board sees through his garbage. I hope that the people that he's manipulated along the way, Dawn's mother, I hope they all show up and say, he will not stop given the chance.
I mean, I kind of want to see this TED Talk.
Lena, you've got a lot of videos to watch.
Oh, wow. This was a wild, wild story. Something that you like Daniel's reaction. What are you watching?
Yes.
It sounds like a Lifetime movie, really.
That's why I chose this story, because I thought, you know, poor Dawn, she gets swallowed up mm-hmm. in all of this mess mm-hmm. and this debauchery mm-hmm. and blasphemy and mm-hmm. corruption, that she just kind of fades into the distance, and it becomes about this man and what he did and this huge thing that he did and all these lives he ruined. But he killed his wife. He killed her. Yeah. She no longer breathes.
Someone who was pure and trying to live righteously.
She was out there slinging hash.
Yeah.
She was out there making the bread.
Yeah.
And being like, you know what? God called you to be in the church, and I'm going to support that, and I'm going to be the breadwinner, and I'm going to work really hard, and we're going to fix this place up and make a life together. Raw and hail, as Brittany would say.
Brittany.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, I hate that. humans are like this, but not even, I can't even say that.
If you don't know God, I just want to let you know that God would never ask these things of you.
Absolutely not.
If you don't know.
Absolutely not. That is not who God is. This is humans' way of,
it's just so gross. I mean, I think of, like, you know, in my scientist psychology mm-hmm. mind, I'm thinking, what was Annette thinking? Was she really, she was so ingrained in this evangelical faith that she felt like she had to do everything that her pastor told her to do.
Yeah.
Was that it?
Yeah.
Was she really that? And I'll have you know that Annette and her husband are still together.
Well, I hope they're thriving. I hope that they...
What a man. What a man.
Yeah.
How, I don't know how you move past that. And unless he's giving her the grace that I say, like, was it that situation? So,
ooh.
Let me take a sip of my wine because...
there's so much to say that I just don't know where to start.
Don's mother slept with him. I just want to remind you guys of that. Don's mother.
I don't know.
Don's mother. Don, you deserved that renovated house. You deserved to pick out your wallpaper mm-hmm. and your backsplash and the flooring that you wanted and see the hard work that day in and day out you were putting in, and you could go home to that house that you had worked so hard for.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's living in a mansion in heaven. That's all I can say.
I'm telling you, there's a slithering snake in this world, but rest in peace, Dawn.
Rest in peace.
So much more to say, but this episode's already long.
So long.
Whoa. I'm flabbergasted. Candace, you knocked me off my seat. Yeah. Okay. Well, that was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Let's do it. See you next week, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying the show, please rate and review wherever you listen, and consider joining our Patreon for bonus episodes every month.
Follow us on Instagram and Facebook for case photos and to stay up to date with the latest C-on-C news. If you have a case suggestion or just want to tell us how cool we are, email us at cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.